The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster program on this October 26th, Thursday afternoon. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And of course, we have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Have all of our podcasts and the complete show archive available for you at buckmastershow.com. Have a very full hour as usual. We begin with Jeff Sales. Mr. Sales, the relatively new executive director of the Southern Arizona, for Southern Arizona, for the Arizona Technology Council. Jeff has a very impressive background. He's a Harvard MBA. He spent 20 years in a TV broadcasting as a general manager, 8 years as an aide to former Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup, worked as a business development manager at a local electronics manufacturer, and he started his own electronics firm about 15 years ago. Now he's with the Tech Council. And Jeff, good to see you. And you really have hit the ground running, haven't you?
Well, I hope so.
I mean, you had a big event last night.
We had a great event last night.
Very well. Yeah. It was the Tech and Business Expo. What was the message kind of that came out of that meeting?
I think the message that came out of that meeting, at least for me, is that data is more and more important, and programming and technology are accelerating at an amazing rate. We saw robotics. Matter of fact, there was a robot feeding us. It was running around with food for us in the in the exhibition hall. Yeah.
With an apron and everything?
No.
I guess the robot didn't need an apron. But so you wanted to get into this job because, let's face it, high technology in this state, and especially here in Southern Arizona, this is kind of like a tipping point. It's exploding.
It really is. I mean, you have the university feeding ideas and incredibly smart people into the market. You have all these companies that are really concentrating in Tucson. You look at Caterpillar and all the companies it's bringing. I actually spoke with a fellow yesterday who's from an engineering company. I think their headquarters is in India, but they have a facility in the U.S. that's supporting Caterpillar. They're moving here when the they're moving now because many of the Caterpillar people they work with back in Peoria are moving here. And so we're going to see, just as you would in a car plant, you're going to see all those vendors and suppliers coming into town to support Caterpillar. And that will, again, bring more people. And then you have all the other mining companies that are already here. And so it's growing to what I call a critical mass. It's really exciting to see.
Yeah, we're going to be speaking at 12:30 today, Jeff, with the people from Hexagon, who have now made Tucson their headquarters. And high technology is a big component in what they do.
It is. As we were discussing earlier, it's about a technology advance. So much of the data and the sensors and all the things that you see now at mines are feeding into their product and allowing miners to much more efficiently do their job in a market that's pretty tough if you aren't organized and efficient.
How is the portfolio looking for the Arizona Technology Council, specifically here in Southern Arizona?
Well, we have about 140, I think, members. We just added a few recently. I can go through that list. It's actually a pretty exciting list.
Here are some of your new members.
Well, the newest is Bank of America. I just left their office to come here, and they are excited about joining. All of the Southern Arizona affiliates will be part of that membership, and that includes Merrill Lynch and some other parts of it. And so we're happy to see them because obviously they're supporting these industries that we're talking about. The Tucson Airport Authority joined recently. And again, it's a situation where their flyers are our members. Mm-hmm. And the more we can do to help promote travel out of TAA, the better off we are, because the reality is that they tell me they can't track travelers who leave from another place. Let's say Phoenix. You drive to Phoenix because you want a direct flight. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll never get that direct flight out of Tucson because Tucson can't tell where you end up if you don't start here.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cases, it's better actually to transfer in order to get to your final location so that they know what the traffic would be if they were able to schedule an airline direct.
And that helps them, of course, when they go to make their pitch for a better airline service for us.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about the governor's celebration of innovation. There are a number of Tucson companies that are up for awards.
That's correct. And usually we win about half of them. So typically Tucson is thrilled to go and thrilled to come back.
Mm-hmm. So we're speaking with Jeff Sales. Jeff is the executive director of the Southern Arizona Office for the Arizona Technology Council. I would assume there is strength in numbers. The more members the Tech Council can put together, when you and your colleagues from Phoenix go to the legislature in January, you have a little more power than when you start to lobby for what the high-tech industry needs.
That's true, but we don't do it in a vacuum. We do it with a lot of other organizations, chambers, et cetera, other business organizations. But yes, we do put together a public policy guide each year that supports the interests and many of the important legislative issues that the council wants the legislature to take real close look at. For example, we were involved in the research tax credit, which allows many of these companies that are doing real R&D to be able to do it more efficiently down here. If they can save money on some of their taxes, they can put more money into the business and grow even faster.
I do want to mention a couple of the small companies that are up for awards. AudioEye Incorporated out of Tucson, mm-hmm. Cancer Prevention Pharmaceuticals Incorporated, a Tucson company, and Paragon Space Development Corporation, again based in Tucson. And folks may know the name Paragon because the founders of Worldview, that was basically their baby and what they started.
Well, they were involved in it, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got a lot going on in this area. Are there some legislative priorities that you're already looking forward to in the upcoming session?
Well, yes, there are, but our public policy guide is not out yet, so I really can't speak to all of them. But I can tell you that, for example, JTED is currently funded through 3 years, and we're really hoping that we can get that to 4 years because that will give many of those students who are interested in a variety of trades an opportunity to learn more and get more accreditation before they go into the labor market.
When you were working with Mayor Walkup, I remember the optics industry was really kind of getting a strong foothold here, and Mayor Walkup was very proud of Tucson kind of being the optics capital of the world. And I remember there was that sign at the Tucson airport with the mayor welcoming you to the optics center. That industry has really done very well for us, hasn't it?
It has. And as a matter of fact, that group is now part of the Tech Council.
So they are now part of the portfolio.
They're one of our committees, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what would you like to, you've been on heading this Southern Arizona effort for only about, 6 months?
Less than that.
Less than 6 months. What is your priority, top priority then for this organization?
Well, this is a member service organization, and I think we have to keep that in mind. The more we can do to support the needs and interests of our members, the happier they'll be and the more we'll have as members.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Jeff Sales, heading up the Southern Arizona office for the Arizona Technology Council. Overall, Jeff, do you know how many members that there are in the state?
It's about, 825.
Mm-hmm. But you feel there's certainly some room for growth there.
Oh, there is. I was told that.
All right. Jeff Sales, thank you very much. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by one of our fine sponsors. If you're looking to take a nice road trip, kind of get away from Tucson for a while, may we suggest Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only about a 3-hour drive over to Silver City. They've been one of our sponsors for a long time. We thank them very much. We send a lot of our listeners over to Silver City, and everybody comes back and says the same thing. They have a great weekend over in Silver City. And if you would like more information, and I hope you will, check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out. That has the full listing of several dozen great places to stay and many recreation opportunities, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic Silver City. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier joins us. Also, our Friday roundtable features Jim Ninsel of the Tucson Weekly and Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and of course, we're always on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 19 minutes now past the noon hour, And hopefully this will be the last of the 90 degree days for a couple of days, Ray, maybe. Okay, the weekend might cool down a little bit. I hope so. This portion of our program presented by my favorite place for all things green. If you're into gardening, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. And they have these great workshops. They're free workshops, usually on the weekend, and you can learn so much about gardening. On their 4 acres, their original 4 acres now has turned into 13 acres. They've got 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Check out Green Things. And speaking of green, that's a pretty good segue into the Green Party of Pima County. Mike Cease is the chair of the Green Party. He is also in a three-way race in Ward Number 6 with the incumbent, Steve Kay, and, of course, who am I forgetting there?
Kosachik and Mariano Rodriguez.
Of course, we had Mariano just with us a couple of days ago here on the program. So, three-way race. Mike, how are you, and thanks for coming by.
I'm doing well, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk with you and your listeners.
When did you become a Green?
I became a Green in 1996.
Uh-huh. And what was the reason?
At that time, I was a registered Democrat and had been for quite a few years at that time. And I realized that the values of this party, which had become at that time, and this is 21 years ago, had become very, very corporate. And the candidates I would vote for in the primaries would not only lose, but it would be in inverse order. The people that I viewed with the worst stands on the issues would actually win, and the people with the best stands would not fare well in the primaries in that party. So I felt like they were sending me valuable information there that I know it's a cliche, but that they had left me as a political party, and that's when I registered Green.
Do you think then both the traditional Republican and Democratic parties have become just, as you say, too big corporate, and they really have lost touch with the people they're serving?
Yes, that's quite accurate.
What are your issues? And I know you wanted to share with our listeners during our 10 minutes together, you said there were 5 major issues. Why don't we get into all 5 of them?
Sure.
What's at the top of the list?
I would be happy to do that. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I'm running because I believe in people's needs over corporate greed. And so that segues right into a study that was published just last month by City Lab. And it shows that Tucson is one of the 10 most economically distressed cities in the nation. And so I and my campaign feel like there's no excuse for this and for the mayor and council not having passed a strong $15 an hour minimum wage ordinance now. That's one of our most important issues. Study after study has shown that that's the single most important thing that at any level of government that government officials can do to improve the economy for everyone and not just for Wall Street.
Mike Cease, what do you think a proper minimum wage would be? What would you like to see that?
Well,
wage?
$15 an hour is
there
good
something magical about that, or are you saying that's
it's
just
been
kind of
identified
the
as a living wage figure?
Okay,
it's an important starting point, and studies show that when that's adopted, and it's been done in quite
Seattle
a few,
area, they've done
Seattle's the most well known, Flagstaff, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, a couple of other examples.
Okay, so the top of the list for the Green Party looks like has to do with economics and increasing the minimum wage. What's next on the list, Mike Cease?
Well, we are also we're also going to bring what's known as a Green New Deal to Tucson. Mm-hmm. And by Green New Deal, we're going to respond to not only the the massive crisis of economic inequality, but also the everyone knows about the sustainability, the climate crisis that we have worldwide and right here in our own community. So again, there's no excuse for the mayor and council not having us on a strong path to be 100% renewable, 100% solar. What we're going to do, the Green Party is the party of action, no excuses. We're going to create local fair wage jobs. We're going to change the narrative from bringing in outside firms. We're going to invest here in our own community right here in Tucson. We're going to create jobs to do retrofit projects in three different areas, energy conservation, solar renewable, and also water conservation, water harvesting.
But it would be local firms?
Local firms, that's correct.
They would
local
have the
first.
Top priority.
They indeed. Mm-hmm.
Third on your list.
Another one of the issues that we believe strongly in is divestment from Wells Fargo Bank. And for your listeners that aren't aware of this, Wells Fargo Bank is a strong supporter of the Dakota Access Pipeline. And to my surprise, I did some research. The city of Tucson jurisdiction has $50 million in investment holdings in Wells Fargo Bank. And again,
so you would like to see them get out of that agreement?
Indeed. That's another one of these items where there's no excuse for our city taxpayer dollars to be invested in this firm that, quite frankly, supports projects which go against the rights of Native American people, indigenous people.
All right, we're speaking with Mike Cece. He is the chair of the Green Party in Pima County. He's also one of three candidates in the race for Ward 6. The incumbent is Steve Kasachek, the Democrat, Mariano Rodriguez, who was on this program earlier this week, is the Republican candidate. Okay, going down your list, still got a couple more of your action items that you would like to let our listeners know about. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you. So I also believe strongly in bringing justice to the generational victims of TCE and dioxane contamination, primarily on the south side. I think most of your listeners have heard of this issue.
Boy, that issue goes back to the 80s.
It does. Yeah. It does. And it's been with us for generations.
We were a Superfund site at one time.
Yes, we are. We still are.
Are we still?
Yes.
You don't hear about that.
No,
much.
We don't hear much about it. And there have been over the decades, and more recently, there have been aggressive measures in the cleanup realm by the city of Tucson, Tucson Water Department. We were fortunate to tour the advanced oxidation treatment plant, and this is a state of the art. And
yeah,
this
I mean,
is
a lot of money was put into that.
Yes, right? And this is an aggressive.
But you think you'd like to see more done?
Like to see, not only like to see, we feel that it's imperative because cleanup alone is not enough to address the justice needs of the victims of this generational contamination. It goes back, as you say, decades, all the way back to the 1940s and 1950s.
Yeah, so I remember when I came to town about 30 years ago, 1988, this was a big, big issue.
Indeed.
Yeah. And Mike, I've got a quickly running out of time here. I've got about 2 minutes, but I did promise you would get five of your issues out. I think we've heard four. What's the fifth issue?
Well, I think I've covered the key issues. May have lumped together. I lumped together the Green New Deal, 100% solar, with the that the economic justice issue of the $15 hour minimum wage.
You talked a little bit about why you became a Green Party member. You said back in the 90s, mid-90s, I believe. You're an engineer by profession, correct?
I am.
Was there something, so the Green Party has always kind of resonated with you, for want of a better word.
That's correct.
It feels more comfortable to you than the other parties.
Yes, I worked for... After I got my master's degree, I actually worked for what was then the Solar Energy Research Institute in Golden, Colorado, that's subsequently the National Renewable Energy Lab. So, yes, dating back when I was a young man, which was quite a few years ago, I've always had a strong passion for sustainable energy and sustainable future, quite frankly.
Mike, where can people find out more about you? Your last name, Cease. Where can they find out? Do you have a website?
Indeed. We have a website, and we also have a Facebook campaign Facebook page. So the website is ceaseforcouncil, F-O-R, cease, .org. And the web page, I believe, has there's a cryptic URL for that. If you look it up, it's cease4 council.
Okay. And you're on Facebook too.
That's the Facebook page.
Okay.
Correct.
All right, Mr. Cease, Mike, thank you very much informing our listeners about what you are doing and what the Green Party is doing. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me in.
You're welcome. 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
Fiery chili, decadent chocolate, enduring traditions at Tohono O'Toole's annual Chilies and Chocolate Festival. Enjoy culinary demonstrations, Day of the Dead face painting, live music and local art Friday and Saturday, October 27th and 28th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Throughout the gardens, vendors feature Day of the Dead inspired crafts, chili roasting, chocolate and culinary tastings, and more. Tickets are $15 for general public and $5 for members. For more information, visit tohonochule.org.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Thank you. The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and time for our CEO interview series on the program presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, a transformative economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing business centers in North America. This CEO-driven regional alliance has helped to drive significant business investment into the Tucson and Southern Arizona region through primary job creation, resulting in 144 company relocations and expansions and an economic impact of just over $22 billion, that's billion with a B, dollars. For more information about Southern Arizona's economic engine, go to suncorridorinc.com. Joining us on the live line, Josh Weiss, the Chief Financial Officer, and Helio Zamora, the CEO of Hexagon Mining, which is headquartered here in Tucson with offices worldwide. Hexagon Mining is shaping smart changes for helping to connect all parts of a mine with technologies that make sense of data in real time. Josh and Helio, how are you, gentlemen?
Hey, Bill, here is Helio. Thank you for having us here. We are doing great. Thank you.
Very much. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Tell us a little bit, Josh, about why Hexagon decided to make its headquarters here in Tucson.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So first off, we have a long history here in Tucson. Hexagon and Hexagon Mining is a relatively new company in that it's a result of a series of four, now five acquisitions over the last couple years. And one of those companies was based here in Tucson called MineSight or MinTech. You might know them. They're based up on Fort Lowell, which is where we currently are. And they were founded in 1970. So they've been around for a long, long time, have rich and kind of cemented roots in the community. So we did have a good history here in Tucson. And also, Tucson's kind of evolving as a technology cluster within the mining industry. So between us, Caterpillar, Modular, and some other mining IT companies being based here, we see it really emerging in the world as the mining technology center of the world as well. That's kind of our background, how we ended up here.
And Helio, what about you? What's your background and how did you wind up with the company?
Bill, I'm a mechanical engineer by graduation with a master's in marketing. But I had work. I'm Brazilian. I moved to Tucson to run this organization. I had worked before in one of the companies that is part of the Hexagon family. It's a company based in Huntsville, Alabama, called Intergraph. Now you rename the company to call Hexagon PPM. But I had worked for them for 7 years, and then I was invited by our CEO to move to Tucson to run Hexagon Mining. So that's the reason I moved from my home country, Brazil, to Tucson.
We spoke with Jeff Sales, who is the new Southern Arizona leader of the Arizona Technology Council, Josh and Helio, at the beginning of the program, and he was saying how technology is so important in the mining industry. Josh, could you elaborate a little bit about what Hexagon does and how it is such a player for these big mining companies?
Yeah, sure. No, that's a great question. Mining in general is kind of going through a digital revolution. if you will, not uncommon to what automotive and other industries have already experienced in a lot of ways. But the reality is mines need to become more productive and efficient and safer today than ever before. And the only way they can really do that is through technology and technological innovations as well. So our kind of our core offering, if you will, is around making mines productive and safer. And what that means are products like fleet management, which optimize the production of a mine, or safety solutions, which make the driver as well as the operators and so on safer in the mine. And the core of that underlying technology is really innovating into autonomous. So if you look at what the automotive industry is doing, the trucking industry, and these other industries, mining is going through that same exact shift right now as well. So we're really investing a lot into autonomous, into various autonomous or semi-autonomous products to get our customers to have these kind of fully autonomous mines of the future as well.
So when you say mines of the future, are we talking about like a very close to a fully automated mining situation? Is that possible?
It is. I mean, there's a lot of discussion on that topic right now. The challenge that mining has is a lot of mines have been around for a long time. So when they first designed and constructed these mines, you know, autonomous technology was kind of space age type stuff at that point in time. So you need to think through how do you retrofit these existing mines to go to autonomous is one strategy. But certainly any new mine that they're building or planning for the future, they're planning with that in autonomous in mind. But in terms of full autonomy, that can mean different things to different people. We're mostly talking about the haul truck side of things, or the trucks and the vehicles and the fleet of a mine itself. But there's a lot of business processes and other things that you can automate as well, and they are attacking it from that angle as well. So the goal is really to get to this fully autonomous operational mine that is safe and more productive than they are today.
Mr. Samora, are you very excited about the future of this company? You've got a new headquarters building coming downtown. Give us an update on that, if you would, please, sir.
Look, we are very excited that we decided to expand in Tucson and move to downtown to a new building. We expect to move there in the summer next year, and we expect to bring additional 70 to 100 new jobs to the company due to this move to downtown. As Josh had mentioned, you know, we're investing heavily in new technologies, and we are in a growing mode. We are growing as a company, we're growing through organic growth as well as through acquisitions, and we expect that the move into downtown, we're going to really show the power of Hexagon as a group and the Hexagon Mining as a division of this group. So we are very excited. We see a bright future for our operations in town and for our technologies being adopted by all mines, from the big groups like FMI, Codelco's of the life, but also for the small, mid-size and underground mines that we have technology for.
Josh, it has to be a very good omen that you have Caterpillar coming here. That's going to help economic development in a big way. And you look at kind of a synergy that's kind of developing around mining and support of mining for economic development. Address that for me, would you?
Yeah, sure. We're really excited about that move. Caterpillar is obviously the largest OEM or truck provider in the mining space and a lot of other industries as well. But having their mining group specifically here will really help us, one, attract talent, retain talent to the region and so on. So really make it, again, as I mentioned earlier, Tucson's emerging as this mining technology cluster for the world. So this just furthers that greatly as well. But two, it also allows us to partner and collaborate a lot more with the OEMs and the trucks and so on as well, because a lot of the technology we do today, it's not only computer or software related, but actually they're onboard equipment and vehicles. So the closer we can work with the OEMs, the better it is for us and the better it is for our customers.
How about technology as far as making mining a cleaner industry? Can either of you address that for me, please? Mr. Samora or Josh, want to take a swing at that?
Look, mines need to be greener. Some issue from the side of the OEM. Some are going for the big trucks are being electrical, so they are electric diesel, but not only diesel anymore. So this is a way that the industry is going. From our side, in terms of greener, we also consider safety part of the more greener. It means that we're going to remove people from the site or from the high walls that are at risk to collapse. So we have technology that monitor those walls and monitor the whole operation in terms of avoid that this is going to collapse and kill people, destroy assets, and even affect the environment. There are history of big accidents in mine that the mines didn't take care of the construction or the geomechanic, if you will, and had collapsed that create a bigger problem in the environment around the mine as well. But mine is getting more safer and is more getting more greener, and we have some technology that help them to operate in a more sustainable way.
All right, Josh and Mr. Zamora, we're going to have to wrap it up. Josh, a final comment. You're pretty excited, I know, about your future. Are you all hiring people, or how's that picture look?
Yeah, we're in serious growth mode here, primarily here in Tucson, which is our headquarters, but also worldwide right now. As Elio mentioned, we are growing. The industry has kind of been in a lull. I don't know if you guys are aware, I assume most people are aware of the commodity super cycle, but we've been fortunate enough through acquisitions and our core strategy to grow in this downturn, and we're investing a lot back into R&D and the technology we mentioned earlier. So I think right now, just year to date, we've hired over 40 plus people here in Tucson alone, and we have another 20 on the immediate job board. And then as Elio mentioned earlier, we're really ramping that up to over 100 next year. So we're well ahead of our growth rates and our projections in terms of hiring this year. And then the last thing we've done is we launched a internship program with the University of Arizona and Pima College across all their different departments and schools. So the mining, the School of Engineers, the business school, and so on. And that was incredibly successful this past summer. I think we had 17 interns, and 9 of them are continuing on as co-ops or full-times, and the rest are planning on coming back next summer. So we're excited to really continue that and launch that in the new office next year as well.
All right. Elio Zamora, CEO of Hexagon Mining, and Josh Weiss, the Chief Financial Officer. I appreciate the time, gentlemen, and thank you very much.
Right, thank you for the opportunity.
This portion of our program presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. You can find out more about Sun Corridor. Go to their website, suncorridorinc.com. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday afternoon. The Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, where he is the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District and one-time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. Dr. Hendricks, Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
How's it going?
It's going extremely well, but I think the topic today has got me a bit stirred, as it has many educators across the state. Those who've been paying attention, and it's hard not to. It's just a real kettle of worms.
Well, the topic of the day, the Arizona school letter grades. And right now, this thing seems to be in limbo as the State Board of Education is considering revisions and appeals. Can you tell us where we are right now on this A to F grades?
Well, part of it is where we have to be, because this is part of a federally legislated program, Every Student Succeeds Act, which requires every state to enact a plan to assign ratings to schools. So the legislation does not say how the ratings should be established or the criteria. However, each plan has to be approved by the U.S. Department of Education. And our state has been, I think, working quite diligently over the past year with task force in place to take a look at how to put some kind of a plan in place. Unfortunately, it's so complicated, it's so complex, that I'm not sure that the consumer, the parent of children in schools, is really going to understand what any of this means. It's really boiled down to a very simplistic single-letter grade, which is kind of a summative rating of the performance of the school. And some other states have gone a different way. Some states have developed kind of a dashboard approach, which shows how a school is doing with various indicators, such as absenteeism or academic progress. But in this particular case, We've got a single letter grade, and that letter grade is based on 90% of student proficiency and growth on a single test, which is the AZ Merit Test. That's the test that replaced the old AIMS. And so we haven't really rated our schools since 2014. But it certainly is not the old system of grading. And as people have realized when they got their first performance report card, grades by and large are lower, and in some schools significantly lower. And, of course, that gets everybody's attention. I've always thought that this concept of grading or rating is as much a marketing and recruiting tool as anything else. And so as schools compete for students, compete for dollars, it's going to be pretty significant what these grades are going to be. And as we can see, you know, as a result of the state pulling back on this and reexamining it, they already have a number of schools that have appealed their grades. And so I think that was the first time that maybe it got their attention that this system, as they tried to perfect it, really is not working as one would hope it would.
So of the roughly 1,700 Arizona schools that received letter grades, nearly 200, Bob Hendricks, are still under review or appeal. And this is a very important thing. I mean, who wants to have an F grade for their school? Let's face it.
No.
Yeah, or yeah. A D, or even
right.
even a C.
No, and we connect the dots with those grades, and we all have a mental picture of what that grade means. I mean, D is poor, C is mediocre. Who wants to say I send my child to a mediocre school?
Yeah.
Good would be okay. Excellent would be okay. But the idea that we're going to brand schools with a single letter grade is really complicated and problematic. And since 90% of the grade is based on proficiency and growth, and when I say proficiency and growth, this is based on a formula. It's based on how the student did on the test, and also comparing how the student longitudinally did on the test from the previous year. So it's really two factors. How much did the student grow academically over a year? They should grow at least an academic year. And how proficient were they on the test? And so they look at those two factors and figure that into a formula to determine 90% of the letter grade. Now, your listeners are probably asking, well, what is the other 10%? Takes into account English language proficiency, special education inclusion, and even looks at a metric on absenteeism. So if a school has a chronic absenteeism, you know, that would hurt their points. But again, those factors I just mentioned are only 10% of the grade, and the other 90% is the single test. So it's complicated and it's confusing, but there's one other wrinkle that makes this ranking different in our state than many other states. It's what the governor has done by indicating that these ratings will be correlated to what he calls results-based funding.
Hmm.
So schools with an A rating are going to get a pot of money that's going to be less for those people in a B school, far less for a C school, and no money for a D school or an F school. And so the governor set aside $38 million out of his education budget for this year that it's going to be distributed. Already, actually, the first draw has been distributed to those schools based on those letter grades. So we have another reason that we can begin to think why schools are appealing to a grade.
It's
because it's not just reputation, it's also the extra funding that you're going to get.
Yeah, it's high stakes now. It's a big sweepstakes, isn't it?
Right. And the other wrinkle is that there really has to be a formula to determine how many schools can get an A rating. In fact, it's capped at 14% because the state doesn't have enough money to reward more than 14% of the schools with an A.
Mm.
So there's limitations to the dollars, too. So we've got this bell-shaped statistical curve that's going to determine, to a certain extent, how many A's can we give, how many B's can we give.
Right.
The seller is not as important because that doesn't really cost the state anything. But
all right,
the higher performing schools you know, are going to be competing for that money.
All right. Bob Hendricks, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're welcome, Bill.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bob Hendricks, our education contributor this afternoon. Mic check with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen helping Mike out. Together they put together a great hour. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, for our Friday Focus interview. Sheriff Napier will be here in studio with me. On behalf of Ray, I am Bill. Have a great afternoon.